You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts in the Morning with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
There's that sound, folks. Welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm fired up and I'm ready to go. Along with my co-host, George Kurtz, we'll be here until 10 o'clock, at which point we hand it over to Fantasy Bagels with Tony Cicada and Cha-Cha. So hit us up today on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. We'll be taking you around the world of sports and the fantasy world of sports all morning. George, how are you?
I'm doing well, Michael. Always happy to be here. Rockin' Riley's here in New York City. A little cool today. We were a little spoiled the past couple of days with some nice weather.
We were a little bit. I'm scheduled to go to Chicago. I have a flight after the show, and I looked up the weather there yesterday, and it was 25 degrees. So I'm not feeling great about that. I think it's supposed to warm up a little bit, but it's been a big change from the warm weather that we got, this sort of peak at spring that we've had here the last few days. So I'm sure I can suck it up, and I'm sure it'll be springtime here before long. Speaking of spring, Bryce Harper homered on his first pitch, so in his first spring at bat. So the article I'm reading is read is about him adding 15 pounds of muscle. So Harper, as you have mentioned, George, a number of times, it seemed like he wasn't fully healthy last year. So it seems like this layoff of the offseason and perhaps getting in the gym, adding a little bit of muscle, will be only good things for Bryce Harper in 2017.
Sure. I was never really worried about his strength anyway. It is just staying healthy. Last year, he had the shoulder injury. How severe? I mean, we've heard different stories, right? It was bad. It wasn't bad. They denied it, but it was certainly there. Good to see that he's healthy. The 15 pounds of muscle is always nice. Good to see him hitting a home run. His batting eye is great. But let's save that for another month.
Yeah, exactly right. Pace yourself, Bryce. We're going to be picking you in the first round. I wonder if he's the type of guy that, and I think you, in a recent draft, like he was kind of sneaking up on you. I think you were maybe in the 10 or 11 hole, and Harper got taken right before. I just wonder if he's that guy at the end of the year that people are like, what was that? Why did I overthink it? Why didn't I just take him with the top two, three picks? There's no reason to overthink this. He's a MVP caliber player and may very well dominate in 2017.
Yeah. He's gone consistently around the nine range, number nine overall. Yep. That's seems to be where he's going here. And I don't blame people. He had a miserable year last year. He really hasn't quite reached that potential where we were, or consistency that we've been expecting from him. That being said, I'm not shying away from him. Would I take him a top two or three picks? No. My pretty much top four, at least top three for that matter, is Trout, Betts, Altuve, Arenado, Goldschmidt. You know, you got the Kershaw in there who I would take no earlier than six, Machado, and I'm sure that guys I left out as well. And I can make an argument for any role of them, you know. So I have no problem with Harper going where he's going. I'm certainly not shying away from him. I'm not afraid to take him. Matter of fact, if I ended up with him, I'd be very happy because it probably means I got him right around between that 7 and 12 range. And I'd be very happy with him. I have no issues with Bryce Harper at all. I think he'll be fine.
You know, the updated NFBC average draft positions, or ADP, to those that would like me to throw in another acronym, is interesting because as it's, you know, it evolves obviously from day to day and week to week. And right now at 9, 10, and 11, it's three Nationals in a row with Harper, Turner, and Scherzer. I know Turner, that's too rich for you. And Scherzer, some people are backing off of because of this knuckle issue or finger issue. And but just interesting that Nationals go back to back to back. You don't often see that, but such is the way it falls. It doesn't really matter for an individual person because they won't get multiple players there. But interesting that the Nationals are three guys in that top 12.
Yeah, it's a cute little coincidence. You know, you're right. Yep. You don't see that all that often at all. I mean, you mentioned it. I won't have Trey Turner. You know, not in the first round. I can't do that. I'm a conservative drafter. I'm going to want to see.
I'm with you, by the way. I'm with you. I can't go up and reach for a guy that where I haven't seen it consistently in the past. I don't want to take chances there. There's too many other quote unquote safer picks at that around that range, like a Josh Donaldson or an Anthony Rizzo or Miguel Cabrera that are right around that range. I could easily see myself taking them over Trey Turner.
Yeah, like I said, I'm more of a conservative drafter. I'm going to want to see what someone's history has been before I use a top three pick. It's so tough for me to do that. Scherzer is probably going to drop a little bit because of the knuckle. Not immensely. I think I've said it before. I had him in my first round before we heard about the knuckle. Now I've dropped him to maybe top of the second round. So you're talking a minuscule drop. Once again, I am not afraid to take him. I don't have him in any other drafts yet. I think I've only done two mocks. I haven't done any real live drafts yet. And the opportunity hasn't arisen. My first mock I had, as you mentioned, the number 11th pick overall. So I ended up I took Josh Donaldson. And the second mock I had Altuve, and he was gone way before my second round pick came.
I got to get in a mock draft with you just to see, kind of light this candle and get myself rolling. My draft doesn't happen for another few weeks, so I need to get in some mocks and really just start sifting through the landscape of exactly who I really like. You know, it's funny because we sit here and talk, and you and I obviously pouring through drafts and data are always going to have a similar approach, but frankly, because we evaluate so many different players, we can be flexible from one draft to another. But that being said, you always have those little idiosyncrasies, those players that you like a little bit more than some other people like, and vice versa. You're going to let some guys pass by like a Trey Turner or others. So in that sense, I think that's why it's important for me personally to go through mock drafts, because I want to kind of flush out what my tendencies are, and am I overdrafting a certain player, or am I underdrafting, or am I letting guys go by that I personally think are having good seasons, but I just didn't feel comfortable, are going to have good seasons, but aren't comfortable in that particular spot that passed them by.
Yeah, I'll do a shameless plug here. I wrote for Benny Ricciardi's book, The Definitive Guide to Fantasy Baseball. I wrote Chapter 2, which is how to win your home league, pretty much. And I'm a big believer in mock drafts, ADPs. Everything's a tool. There's nothing. I don't think anything's the Bible where you have to follow it, but you do mock drafts to get an idea of what you just said, Mike. Where players are going, what people are thinking. Maybe you want to try a different strategy. I think, as everybody well knows, I don't like taking catchers. But let's say I want to see what my team looked like if I did take Buster Posey in the fifth round. I can do that in a mock draft. You know, or if I want to see what my team looks like if I take two closes early. You do it in a mock draft. Clayton Kershaw, first round, mock. You know, so it's a great way to go about it. They're very, mock drafts are generally very quick. They take less than an hour, so it's easy in, easy out. You can do it watching a TV show. You know, and you get an idea of what you're going for. ADP, you always want to get the most updated ADPs possible, because if you're looking at ADPs now, you're going to get a lot of guys who are still fooling around. You look at ADPs closer to your draft, you're drafting in mid-March, late March, you'll get more serious ADPs where, this is where this guy's going. You know, ADPs, mock, and we look at ADPs, you could generally look for how many mocks they're taking or how many drafts they've looked at and when. You know, they're taking it from January, February, 2 weeks ago, this week. You can generally check that out. And you always want to do that to get an idea of when they took these ADPs. And FBC is always a good thing to go with your ADPs because they're taking it seriously right away. So you get an idea where these players are going. Once again, helpful tool. But one thing you will have to remember is you're playing in home leagues. You and I live in New York, Mike. You're playing in your home league. Yankees and Mets are going to go earlier than they should because you got too many fans of these teams who love their players and can't admit they're not very good. You know, same thing if you love playing in Chicago or Los Angeles or wherever it might be. You always have to take that into consideration. When it comes to hometown players, if you want them, they're probably going to go earlier than they actually should.
Yeah, and NFBC right now, Noah Syndergaard is ranked fourth for starting pitchers behind Kershaw, Scherzer, and Bumgarner. It's very likely here, because Mets fans are in love with Thor, that he could push up over one or two of those pitchers, and somebody's going to just take a shot on him, right? Draft him earlier than he otherwise would. So you'll certainly see players like that. In fact, you'll see some of the Yankee younger players, I'm sure, get drafted later in drafts where they might not in another city. So I've told you the keeper league that I am in. It's Minnesota-based. I sort of got in through a former work connection, and I've been chairing the team for a bunch of years, and those Twins have always been like Miguel Sano and Brian Buxton over the last couple of years. They were either heavily bid on the waiver wire and or drafted in a situation where maybe they didn't even need to be drafted yet, so somebody wanted to keep them for the long term. In any event, I think you bring up a great point, and people need to be mindful of that. Use the ADP guides and our rankings that you can find in the exclusive Edge package. Use those as a guide, but keep in mind those types of things will have an impact. And George, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that today was Oscars Day, right? It's Oscars night. Everybody getting done up and walking the red carpet in Hollywood to find out who is the best picture, the best actor. And it was my goal this year to see at least one nominated picture. I've got about 13 hours left, George, in order to make this happen. And maybe I'll catch it on the flight to Chicago. But as of right now, I'm behind the eight ball, and I haven't seen any of the nominated pictures.
Okay. Where should I go with this? One, didn't know the Oscars were tonight. Two, don't care. Yep. Three, doubt I saw any of these pictures as well. In fact, I'd be shocked if I did. I don't know anyone. I don't know anybody who's up for an Oscar. So
I guarantee you would love La La Land. That's right in your wheelhouse. La La Land. A little song and dance, a little soft shoe. I know that's the George Kurtz sweet spot right there. All right. Arrival, Lion, Hell or High Water, Hidden Figures, Moonlight, Hacksaw Ridge. You'd probably like that one.
That
Manchester
really
by the Sea. Manchester by the Sea and Fences. So
no Star Wars?
No Star Wars.
No John Wick?
Nope. No John Wick. Definitely not John Wick.
Yeah. Good chance I'm going to go. I'm going to have an O for there. I'm going to have the Golden Sombrero. Sorry.
I think of all these movies, the one I really wanted to see, well, the two I really wanted to see, I kind of want to see them all now, but Hell or High Water and Manchester by the Sea were the movies when I saw their trailers. I was like, I'm going to see this. My wife saw La La Land. She was less impressed than I think all of the world seems to be. They've won a million awards, nominated for 14 Oscars, which is the most in history, tied with Titanic, I believe. So,
no, I never saw Titanic.
Of course you didn't.
You know, I know how it ends.
Why?
You know, ship goes down.
Yeah, it does.
Sorry,
it
spoiler alert there for anybody else who hasn't seen it. Yeah, it sinks.
Right, so that was a cheap joke. In any event.
Wow, that just hurts. Have fun in Chicago.
I'm just saying that was a cheap one. That was an easy one. But why would you not watch a movie that's it's now 20 years old? It was a good movie. I mean, it's not like a cheesy love story.
I'm not going to see this.
It isn't really. I don't think it to be that way. Clearly they had to tie in a love story in order to make it interesting. But I always found
that'll get me to go.
Please, tie a bigger audience.
Yeah. Now I'm dying to see it.
Yeah, you know, it not for me, but George, it was the before. What's the other James Cameron movie with the aliens? I always forget the name of this movie. No, that is actually a James Cameron movie too. So it's ironic that I said that. The one where they go to the faraway land with the blue people.
I know Avatar.
Yes, so that's the highest grossing movie of all time. But Titanic was for like 15 years before that movie came out. I never remember the name of that movie. It's probably because it wasn't that great of a movie. But in any event,
didn't see that either, by the way.
But I'm just saying, Titanic is a watchable movie. It's something that you should go see. I think he did a really nice job with how the event may have unfolded. Clearly, there's a lot of speculation in there, but I thought it was cool. Yeah, I'm just saying the way he did the it being a period piece, I thought it was all really well done, and I don't find it to be just an over-the-top, cheesy chick flick. It's not really how I have determined it. In any event.
You haven't convinced me.
You're 0 for 9, excuse me, on the best pictures. I'm 0 for 9. I think by the time the Oscars go down, if I can catch one of these on the plane, we'll be 1 for 9, at least on this front. So maybe go out and rent Hell or High Water. I think you'd probably like it. Maybe that's something to do after the show today, and then we can talk about it next week.
You know, Mike, I wish I could rent. Well, do we even rent movies anymore? What is this renting?
Well, your cable system.
I wish I could, Mike. But, you know, I'm going to be begging leaves today. So believe me, I would rather watch any of these 9 movies or 11, whatever it was, than do what I'll be doing.
You don't have somebody for that? Like a leaf guy?
Yeah, it's like $300, man. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, well, all right. I'd love to sit here and talk about the Oscars for the next 3 hours, but I'm really not a good source. George has shown not to be a good source.
Not any source.
I guess we'll just talk some baseball, talk some football. and anything else across the world of sports and anything else fantasy related. Hit us up with questions at 844-843-6879. That's 84FNTSY. Talk about your MLB drafts and anything else that might be on your mind. So George and I for the next 3 hours on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George, here till 10. And I mentioned the exclusive Edge package earlier. And I would say the 2017 MLB exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package is out. Get your full season fantasy baseball package for one low price of only $29.95, beginning with our deluxe draft package. It's your full season ticket to championship insights and advice, and it all begins with our comprehensive draft package available now and continuing throughout the regular season, guiding your run to a league title. You'll get completely sortable player projections and profiles for over 800 players, featuring our award-winning team of SWA honorees and Hall of Famers. Plus, Fantasy Pros accuracy, ranking standouts, an improved cheat sheet tool, an auction value generator, a complete suite of in-depth articles and rankings for all styles of play, including Roto and head-to-head, and exclusive insider reports from around the majors. So go to rotoexperts.com and get your 2017 MLB Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball package now. So I pour through it just about every day, kind of picking up new articles and trying to find important pieces of information. So I assure you that it is a great tool, and we put a lot of work into it on in all of our sports. So keep in mind to go there. I mean, it's certainly worth the $30 to get yourself an edge. George, you have the closer report in there, correct? And anything else that you've contributed thus far?
No, I'm the closer guy. It's in there already. It'll be up. You'll get another update on that. At least one update before the end of the spring training, and then it's every Tuesday during the regular season.
Got it. Okay. So, but good stuff in there about, you know, I'm reading, I was reading a head-to-head sort of strategy, head-to-head draft strategies. We got other head-to-head rankings in there, digging deep for AL-only leagues and digging deep for NL-only leagues, you know. A lot of different stuff there. And I was reading something the other day, George, about a particular player. And it was interesting because the position itself is so loaded. But he's a guy that I've now read about a couple of times. And one of our old colleagues is writing about him for another site. And just an article that I read. Third base is completely loaded this year, right? We've gone through it time and time again. We got four of those guys really in the first round range with Brian Arenado, Machado, and Donaldson. You go down the list, Kyle Seager, Matt Carpenter, Todd Frazier, Adrian Beltre, and down the line. But this article was supposing, what if you really wanted to wait? What if you're just letting all these guys pass? You're taking other, maybe you're starting pitchers, you're loading up on outfield, whatever it might be. And there's a guy that he was talking about. This is Adam Ronis, by the way, our former colleague, writes for Scout. He was talking about Nick Castellanos as possibly a deep a player deep down the third base rankings that could be poised for a breakout year. So kind of wanted to get your thoughts on Nick Castellanos.
Yeah, I'm a Castellanos guy as well. Somebody you can grab later. You probably don't want him to be your starting third baseman unless you're in a 15-team league. If you're in a 15-team league, of course, you're going to have a weakness somewhere, maybe more than one somewhere. But as far as the CI, he protects average. You know, and I kind of like that. Something I'm looking for. And when I say protected, he might even be able to help average. You know, we forget sometimes. The deeper we go, you're looking to hit certain categories. You know, you need to know what your team needs. You can't just draft, you know, 18 sluggers. Sounds good. It's going to kill your average. It's going to kill your stolen bases. And you're not going to win that way. You need to draft a team. So when it comes to, you know, listen, first, six, seven, eight, maybe probably 10 rounds, I'm pretty much BPA. I'm drafting the best player available, and I'll move on from there. But after that, I need to know what categories I'm light in, what categories I'm strong in. You know, this current mock draft, even a mock draft, I do the same thing. I'm practicing here, so I need to know what I'm doing in. And the mock, I can see from my team that I'm probably a little light, maybe not as light as I was yesterday's show, on home runs. You know, and I knew that in my last couple of picks, I've been guys like Duvall and Sano who might hit 30-plus. But I'm also well aware that they're also going to bring my average down. You know, they might hit 32 home runs apiece, which is great. I need that. But they also might bat 240, 250. And that's going to hurt. So I need to bring that up somewhere. And Nick Castellanos, who's still available in this league, we're in round 15, is the perfect guy to offset that. He has upside. I don't see massive upsides coming, but he has he does certainly has upside. But I know he'll bat 280, you know, with maybe 290, and I'll offset one of those guys. So you need guys like this as your draft moves along. And the fact that I said I think he has upside as well, where maybe this could be his big breakout year, especially if he bats second in front of, you know, Miguel, Victor Martinez, JD Martinez, that's a good
thing.
That's
exactly right. That's what's going to lead into my next comment, because Brad Ausmus, manager for the Tigers, is I don't know if he called it auditioning or if he's really trying to make a decision as to who bats second between leadoff man Ian Kinsler and obviously Miggy Cabrera in the three hole. Justin Upton, not really an option for him. Jose Iglesias appears to be an option. JD Martinez appears to be an option. And then Castellanos. So 25 years old this year in 447 plate appearances. He hit 18 homers. Drove in 58 runs, 827 OPS. So, I mean, he's really getting the job done. And as we're saying, you know, a younger player, potentially poised for a little bit of a breakout. As you said, maybe it's not massive, but I think him getting that second slot would really obviously improve everybody's chances of being right. So that would be a huge bonus if you can get him later in a round, later in the rounds, as you're talking about now. It's the 15th round. He's not even gone yet. So really an interesting guy for me, especially if he ends up in that two slot.
Yeah, obviously he'll see a lot of fastballs, you know, in front of those guys. The guys, I even put Justin Upton in there as well. Tigers can hit. We know this. So they're going to look for guys to get on base in front of him. He doesn't have a lot of speed, so that might hurt him as far as you know, maybe they want someone who can run a little bit more. Generally, second-place hitter, that is what you're looking for. But also a lot of second-place hitters, you want someone who makes contact, gets on base for the sluggers. So it's a development to watch to see if he sticks there. So I'm as curious as everybody else.
Yeah, and no, I was listening to a little bit of doing a little bit of research last night, listening to something, and what I found interesting, too, but you're talking about how the Tigers can hit, and right now, and I know, you know, Vegas over-unders are only one kind of judgment for somebody to take a look at, but what I found interesting is that based on the over-unders that the Indians are set at and that the Tigers are set at, if you just go right on the numbers, it's expected by Vegas that the Indians would finish 10 games in front of the Tigers. Do you think it will be a runaway and hide year for the Indians in front of the Tigers, or could the Tigers be a little bit better and challenge?
I mean, listen, off the teams they are now, yeah, I think the Indians are going to win that division. I think they win it easily. 10 games, who knows? But I don't think they're going to have much of a problem here. They're deep all around. Of course, there could be injuries. Kluber could go down. Carrasco can go down. Two of them could go down when the Tigers catch up. But when you look at the Tigers, you know, they're behind the eight ball here. They got some work to do here before they're going to catch the Indians. You know, you have to really Verlander. You know, I like Fulmer. I do like Fulmer a lot, but still, he's got, you know, some proving to do here before I regard him as a number two, you know, somewhere around there. So their pitching is, it's not deep. I think it's the biggest. They're going to hit. I have no doubt they're going to hit, but their pitching is has issues. Starting pitching is that. The bullpen's always been a question mark for about as long as I can remember right about now. So I think that's my issue here. Who's going to start for Detroit game in, game out, after Verlander, after Fulmer? You know, Jordan Zimmerman pretty much bombed last year after a good start. Daniel Norris has some upside. And Norris is another guy I'm interested in taking late in my drafts. You know, but after that, Sanchez also bombed last year. Matt Boyd, Buck Farmer, Pelfrey. None of these guys truly excite me. So they're at least, Mike, at least one starter short from really competing with Cleveland.
Yeah, you know, Cleveland, as we saw last year, it's torturous for Indians fans. I'd say as a Cleveland fan, you obviously had the respite in the Cavs being able to win the title. But, gosh, you and I were texting after it was 3-1 last year in the World Series, and it looked like, gosh, the Cubs are going to have to wait another year. And obviously, so I say all this to try to say that the Indians are obviously good enough to win the World Series. Plenty of people are predicting them to get the finish the job this year, but clearly the Indians are a really talented team, whether we're talking about lineup or pitching or bullpen, as we've talked about a number of times between Miller and Allen, both very valuable fantasy assets depending on your scoring systems. They could be even more valuable. Andrew Miller, you know, in a league where I am we're counting up holds, Andrew Miller, a guy that I find to be extremely valuable, and especially a guy with the potential to pick up saves. You know, George, your closer report is kind of really helping me to fashion that strategy. So I will be really looking at a couple of those guys, like a Cam Bedrosian and like an Andrew Miller, who could have good seasons if they never get a save, but if there's the possibility that they can throw some saves on top of their mid-season or throughout this season, then I'm going to find them to be even more valuable in a league like mine.
Yeah, well, Andrew Miller is being drafted as a top 20 reliever, so you're not going to get him as a as a Bedrosian type guy. We've talked about a guy who can protect your whip, protect ERA, and maybe get some saves later. People are assuming that Miller's going to get saves. My guess is, from Andrew Miller, he'll get 8 to 12 saves and protect that ERA, protect that whip, and get you some strikeouts. He's a very valuable reliever because, you know, I think people forget there's nothing wrong with protecting your whip and protecting your ERA. Are you going to draft a fourth starter on a team that might kill those categories? Sure, you might get a few more wins. You know, you certainly get more strikeouts, but not an immense amount. But if he's going to kill your whip and ERA, it sort of balances out. So why, you know, any of these guys I'm talking about, these late round setup men, you can get late. When he's starting pitching, you're probably grading him 4 or 5 rounds earlier. So that's why I like to do here. I don't mind taking these guys, especially if, let's say, I would draft, and this also depends how a draft falls for me, if I was only able to grab one closer, or maybe only one closer that I trust. You know, I was able to grab, for argument's sake, I was able to grab Kenley Jensen, but my number two closer is Houston Street. My number three closer is Ryan Madsen. Guys who may not have the job come opening day, more or less May or June. So then maybe I want to protect myself by taking a Cam Bedrosian type. I said I wouldn't put Andrew Miller in here because he's going about round 12, round 15 in these leagues. So he's being drafted as a tier 3 closer. You know, so you can't wait till round 25 to get him. He's long gone by then. But that's how I approach these things. What do I need? Once again, what does my roster need? Do I need to take a shot at saves? You know, if I was able to get 2 or 3 good closers, well then I don't really have to worry about this as much. You know, do I need to protect whip and ERA? Do I need wins and strikeouts? You need to know this during your draft.
By the way, you're obviously deeply invested in this particular position, just having to know about as much about it as anybody I know. But I would ask you, regarding players like Houston Street that we've talked about quite a bit as somebody that we have very little confidence in, are you avoiding him completely in drafts, or are you just going to take him when there's a really serious value there? You're like, you know what? I'll pick up some saves in the first 6 to 8 weeks, and if he loses the job, so be it.
I don't know if there will ever be a serious value for Houston Street, but I'll say this. Every closer has value. Because you need saves. They're only 30 closers, so you need saves. You know, you're playing in most people are going to play in 10-team leagues. You know, by far. Now, Scott Engel will tell you, people listen to this channel, read our stuff, are playing in 12-team leagues. And I would agree. You know, I think we have more serious players here. But either way, you do the math, we all want minimum 2 closers. So 12 teams, I mean, that's 24. And you know the other 6 are getting drafted, too. They just are. You know, and I freely say it all the time in my column. There are 30 major league teams. That's 30 closers. I wrote that column last week. By the time the All-Star break comes in, really, you can... By the time Memorial Day comes, 10 will have lost their jobs. All-Star break, the other half has lost their jobs. So you're talking, by the All-Star break, half the closers have changed. Whether it's because of injury, because of poor performance, or someone outperformed them and took their job, that's the way it is. Every year you can look at this, it's the same story every season. And this year, and I've said this before, I don't know, you know, Mike, if you ask me this next February, I might say the same thing. But, man, it seems like there are going to be a lot of closing changes this year. You go through the teams, and I just don't like what I'm seeing here. All the teams who I think might change closers. You know, you go up and down this list, and it just seems to be where it's almost like 10 to 12 right now I can name before we even get to injuries.
What do you feel the overriding reason is for that?
I think it's human nature. What's the easiest way to get that the fans ticked off, the media gets on the manager, is to blow ninth inning. You know, when you have a game won, everyone, oh, we're winning 4-2. Game's over. You know, fans are happy. They're having their last beer. They're getting ready to go home. All of a sudden, you blow that game. You know, it's disheartening. So I think that's the reason that they don't have patience here. You blow two or three in a row, forget about it. You know,
you really do have to build up a lot of equity as a closer to get the fans to not panic. You know, even when Mariano Rivera was in the midst of many of his dominant seasons, there were times where, you know, he had a bad week. Blew a couple in a row, blew two out of three, and the fans are still scratching their heads because the Yankees, frankly, were always in the mix for a playoff spot or a potential home field advantage or whatever it was. Even then, people would pull their hair out and say, what's going on with Mariano? Is he hurt? Is there something wrong? That was after, like, two bad games in a 10-day span.
Yeah, fans have no patience, period. Let's face it. You give up a run in the ninth inning, not even a blown save, they're calling for your head. You're not striking everybody out. Once again, they wonder what's wrong here. But I think that's why we just don't see patience when it comes to the ninth inning. We don't. Unless you're an established closer. You know, I mean, Zach Britton could blow 3-4 saves in a row. He'll be fine. You know, or same thing with a Chapman type. But
four would be a lot. Four would be a lot.
It'd be newsworthy. But we'd be worried about some injury concern there. But
that's right.
But if you put someone like, if Houston Street does that, forget about it. He's done. You know, put a fork in him. It'll be Bedrosian, Bailey, you know. I mean, they'll bring back K-Rod to get him as saves there. That's just the way it is. Like I said, I know we got to go to break here. But this is just a worry season for me as far as closers are concerned. It just seems to be a lot of guys could lose their job and lose it quickly.
Good stuff. So we'll be back and we'll talk a little bit more MLB news and notes after the break with George. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Talking a little bit about MLB news and notes. I was listening to something about Kyle Schwarber yesterday, George. And it seems like this reporter said about a year ago, they were talking to Schwarber and about his transition from catcher to outfield. And he seemed really dedicated to wanting to get in some games behind the plate. And fast forward a year after the injury, and I think he understands that he's no longer a catcher in Major League Baseball terms. On the Cubs specifically, he's effectively the third string catcher, and he will not see many, if any, games behind the plate. I would ask for clarification because I haven't seen yet on my Yahoo League, is he going to have some catcher eligibility on some sites?
I would assume no. Didn't play catcher last year. He got hurt in game one. He was in the outfield in game one. That being said, you know, you could have some weird rules. Maybe some leagues are a two-year composite, and they go back to 15. Yeah. I don't know that. I would say in a majority of leagues, though, with normal rules, no, he lost that eligibility.
I assume so. It's usually 20 games or so, 15 or 20 games or so at the previous season, right?
It depends on what your settings are. Most leagues I play in are actually 10.
Okay, so in any event, my point in bringing up Schwarber is that clearly we saw his impact as he came back for just the World Series, and he's a guy that Joe Maddon is talking about and hitting at the top of the lineup. So does that? Are you encouraged by that? Is that changing your thoughts on Schwarber with him hitting consistently at the top of the lineup?
Just stay healthy. Don't really care where he hits. Just stay healthy. Stay in the lineup. I mean, a devastating injury he suffered last year. The collision in Arizona, it happened. He recovered from it, looked great in the playoffs, which is good to see because that's against top-notch pitching. Yeah, he didn't seem to have a problem with it. Right? He's a fun player to watch. He's someone I'll draft. I'm not afraid of drafting him at all, Mike. I didn't take him in either one of the mocks. He went before I was willing to grab him, or I went with the player I liked better for whatever reason. But I'm not afraid of him at all. I think he has a nice season here. My only worry, and this is my worry with several Cubs, yeah, a lot of guys there. You know, he may get more days off than he actually needs because they have to get other players to play. So that might concern me somewhat. But it's a thing, what I would call a tiebreaker. If I'm considering Schwarber and another player, I might go with the other player because I might think he's going to play 10 more games.
Yeah, so Schwarber, Zobrist, and John Jay are the leading candidates for the number one spot in the batting order, according to this particular article. And Maddon is waiting to crunch some numbers to figure out the bottom of the order. Since Schwarber is coming off the knee injury, he is not projected to play every game and also would likely sit against tough left-handed starters. So obviously we can all see the talent. We see the power. He performed unbelievably well in the World Series on basically hitting off a tee and simulated pitching for months and then came in there and got the job done in the World Series. In any event,
he made it look way too easy.
Yeah, it was crazy. I you know, it was one of those guys where I remember debating with some friends. They were saying, like, do you really bring him back? He's going to be ice cold. He's just going to come in there. I'm like, my thought process is, like, they need a DH anyway. Like, why not him over some of the other options they have? So, as you said, he made it look way too easy. And we'll see about Schwarber's output for the year. But I think it is interesting if he can hit at the top of the lineup. So, Zach Britton, guy that I'm likely to keep, says his left oblique muscle is feeling better, progressing towards making his spring debut. Obviously, kind of a fingers crossed situation, but nobody has sounded the fire alarm just yet on Zach Britton's season.
No, Britton has been, I guess he had an interesting offseason from the question about whether or not Buck Showalter should have used him in that, almost said overtime playoff loss, extra inning playoff loss. I certainly think he should have been used. There's no way I'm going down without using my best pitcher, especially on a Baltimore.
Doesn't make
staff.
Any sense.
Right.
Didn't make any sense then. Doesn't make any sense now. He's the best pitcher on the team.
Right. So. He was having a Cy Young season, and he lost without using him. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go down that way. If I'm going to lose, I'm certainly firing all of my bullets. And
by the way, Buck Showalter is not going to give up any ground on it.
No.
He's not the type.
I like Showalter. He is one of the better managers in the game, but I think he made a mistake there. But that's fine. It's water under the bridge, as they say, so we have to move on. Britton, top three closer this year. I'm not going to have him on any leagues because I'm not spending around 5, 6, 7 pick on a closer, more than likely not. So I don't have to worry about him either way. But that being said, I have no problem with anybody taking him.
Yeah, Chapman and Jansen, the other two closers that George is referring to. Todd Frazier dealing with some soreness in his left side. You've talked about Todd Frazier a little bit this season. He's right now currently ranked the 7th overall third baseman, according to NFBC ADP. I think we've talked also about Todd Frazier possibly not being there for the entire season in Chicago.
Listen, I think that's a good possibility, right? They already traded Chris Sale. We know they've talked about Quintana. They've talked about Robertson. I'm sure they'll talk about Frazier as well. Plus, see, they got to open up a spot for Moncada. Now, Yoan Moncada could be a star. Could even be a superstar. He has that kind of talent. But he doesn't really have a place to play. He can't play second base. They've already tried that. He doesn't have the fluidity to play there. His best position in the infield is third. I guess you could say first base as well, but that's Jose Abreu. But most people believe, Mike, that he's going to end up being a center fielder. That's where his athleticism plays best. I guess get him away from ground balls. I don't know. I don't think that'll be this year. They'll try him at third first. But when are they able to move Frazier? I don't think it'll be spring training unless a team that's a contender suffers an injury at third. So it could be at some point during the season. Frazier is what he is. Fantasy-wise, he's going to hit home runs, going to hurt your average a little bit. That being said, that's worth it. We want those home runs. Home runs are valuable, especially from right-handed hitters. But to answer your question, I do expect them to be moved, yes, along with Quintana and Robertson.
Speaking of the White Sox, I was looking at the over-unders as well earlier today, since you talked about their lineup a little bit. You're currently set at 68.5 wins, George, which is not a positive outlook. Would you take the under or the over on that?
I'm going to take the under, mainly because I just said it. I think they're going to trade these guys away, so I think they're going to get worse, not better. I think they did a really good job in the sale trade. I think they did very well. I think they got very good talent coming back there. Kopech, the guy that throws 130 miles an hour. That's not always good, by the way, because I think these young guys try and throw too hard. You don't need to throw the ball that hard. Just more placement's more important than anything else. But that being said, he has a live arm. Good to see. You got Moncada. They'll get a similar package from Quintana, because he's under control until, the 2020 season. Robertson and Frazier bring back good pieces as well. This is a team that could rebuild very quickly if they're able to make three good deals here. So I think they will move all three, but I got to go under 68 here. And also because we're seeing so many teams. I've been joking about the Reds forever. Padres are terrible.
The Padres are the only team, by the way, with a lower set win over-under win total than the White Sox.
I mean, have you seen that the starting pitching staff? Oh, God.
Yeah, it's brutal.
But what we're seeing in today's baseball, this is what teams believe you have to do. You have to strip it down completely, you know, to get those top draft picks. And
it's pretty amazing because people talk about it in the NBA the most, about teams going for the tank and how much people don't like it. But quietly, other teams have done it as well, in other sports, rather. MLB had not been quiet about it at all. The Reds are clearly in the midst of it. And
Milwaukee's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I probably wish the CBA would have addressed this in some situation to get these teams from tanking, because that's what they're doing. I mean, and now listen, if I run these teams, this is how I would run it too. So I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong. They're playing by the rules. I would do the same thing. If it's not nailed down, trade it. You know, if I don't need it 3 years from now, if it's not going to help me in 3 years, gone. You know, and there's no point in doing it now, and I want to build from there. The Astros have gotten good because of that. The Cubs, same thing. So the teams, it's a copycat league. Everything's a copycat league. And they're seeing this is how you garner success. This is how you become better in a hurry. Strip it down, build it back up.
Yeah, speaking of building it back up, Josh Hamilton back in camp with the Rangers after an examination of his left knee showed significant damage. Looks like he's backing off some workouts here, had an MRI, and, Josh Hamilton, George, the guy lives on.
He won't die.
He's still around. He's 35 years old this season. Last year played only 50 games. Last year didn't play at all. In 2015, only played 50 games. So is there any relevance here at all? Not somebody you're looking to draft at all. Just curious if Josh Hamilton.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen drafted in any league. I was doing the 15-team mock we did earlier, which went 27. You know, do the math there. Well over 400 players taken, but he wasn't one of them.
Yeah.
No, I mean... Listen, you got Profar, Gomez, Mazzara, Chu. I think Gallo gets a shot before he does. They got the line of the Shields as well. I mean, where is he on a depth chart here? Mike Napoli, I didn't probably put him in there as well, although I imagine he plays more first base. They got James Loney's in camp. They just don't need him. It's a shame. Hamilton, you wonder what his career would have been like if he didn't do all the drugs. It certainly weakened his body. He was great for a very short period of time. He was fun to watch. Had the big home run derby, or was it 09 or 08 maybe? I think it was 08. It won an MVP, but his body just couldn't withstand it over long periods of time. And, you can put a fork in him. He's done.
Yeah, I mean, he's 35, so it's not like he has to hang his head. I'll say this about him in general. You're right, what could have been. But I frankly was completely amazed that he ever made it to the place that he made it. He won an MVP. He was the most feared hitter in the majors there for a couple of years. So I give him all the credit for making that comeback. The guy's obviously got a lot of personal issues, but he was able to, at least for a period of time, keep them under control and at least reach some of the heights that people had anticipated of him when he was drafted, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm a baseball fan. I like to see talent play. It's because I'm a Yankee fan. Obviously, I want to see the Yankees win, but I like to see talent play. And you just don't like to see guys who had the talent and then, just let it all go away for different reasons. Whether they didn't take it seriously, didn't work hard at it, or in this case, used illegal substances that ended up hurting his chances for a long-term success. I think that's a shame.
Yeah, well, I'll come back to a couple of players that you just mentioned after the break. It's Mike and George back after this. Welcome back. George and I going through MLB news and notes, talking about the fantasy relevance of certain players. And George, a guy that you mentioned in the previous segment was Joey Gallo. He's 23 years old and is obviously a sought after power hitter and a guy who struggled in his brief appearances in Major League Baseball thus far. Last year, only 30 plate appearances total. He struggled with making contact, to say the least. When he does make contact, the ball's going to travel a long way. But Joey Gallo, as you mentioned, that depth chart is a tough one to crack in Texas. Strong team. solid top of the rotation, and obviously a lot of bats to go around. They're pretty strong lineup. So your thoughts on if Joey Gallo can even really get much of a shot this season again?
Well, you already sort of hit the high points there, or in this case the low points. He's got no spot. He's just got no spot, and it doesn't make any sense to keep him up there and not play him. Yeah, think about it. He's the third baseman, but you got Adrian Beltre, so that's out. Designated hitter? I already mentioned. You got Profar, Gomez, Mazzara playing in the outfield. Well, that means Chu's going to be the DH. So no spot for him. He needs at least one injury to play, if not two. And he'll probably need a long-term injury because I don't think it makes much sense. I assume he's going to start the season in AAA. You know, and it makes no sense to bring him up for a day-to-day injury. So you're looking for, you know, minimum 15, what was it, 10-day DL now? 10-day DL, 15-DL, 21-day DL. You need him, someone to be out for a while to get him some playing time here. So that's the problem here. You know, and I don't like it. I want to see him get a chance. But I think that as far as fantasy owners are concerned, I have playing a deep 40-man roster league, 16 teams. I have Gallo. You know, I can't hold on to him as a minor league anymore. I can keep 15 players, and I'm probably not keeping him. I want to keep him. I really do.
That's brutal.
But I got guys who can play him. Right now, he can't.
It's brutal because you know that if he was on, you know, this is a victim of circumstances, so to speak. I mean, he's not wasting away. The guy's only 23, but it's a source of frustration when you see a guy like this. It's got to be terribly frustrating for him because he knows he's part of a good organization, and that's encouraging. But he knows he's a major league level hitter, right? He's got holes in his swing clearly that were taken advantage of by some major league pitchers, but such is the case with a lot of young players. He'd like to get up there. He knows he's better than at least a handful of major league baseball players that play every day. So he'd like to be in there, but this is a strong lineup. I mean, you said it. We've said it now both. I don't know where he breaks in, and I think they have no choice, the Rangers, but to keep him down in the minors, to keep getting him at bats and to smooth out the swing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the theory. If you keep him on the bench for long periods of time, those holes aren't going away. You know, he needs to play every day and work on that, and he needs to play every day somewhere. You know, I certainly think he can play in the majors, but he needs to play every day. Yeah, I don't think you make him a bench player right now and have him come off, you know, play once a week, twice a week. I think his kid needs to, you know, get 500 at-bats, 600 at-bats this season, somewhere. So that's why I think he starts in AAA and doesn't go to Texas until there's an injury, they know he can play every day. And I honestly don't know when that is.
What do you think, difficult to say because you haven't seen him that much, but what do you think his profile fits in the majors? Is it kind of a swing-and-miss guy with a ton of pop, or do you think he can potentially be a guy that hits for some average as well?
Right now, if the Rangers have said, oh, the hell with it, he's playing DH every day, he gets those 600 at-bats, I think he did 30 to 40 home runs, but that average would be brutal. You know, somewhere around the 220 range and probably strikeouts, the over-under might be 200. And that's awful. Yeah. You just can't have that. That's the problem. He needs to cut that down. If you're going to strike out that many times, granted, in this day and age, strikeouts aren't an awful thing. You know, some people believe in outs and out. I don't believe that, but some people do. But then that average still needs to come up. You know, probably to the 240, 250 range. You know, can he do that? Or even if you want a discount average, can he get on base enough when it's on average with walks? You know, can then at OBP be in the 330, 340 range? You know, so there's a lot to look at here. But right now, that just can't happen. You know, there's no spot for him. Even if he could hit right now, I'm not so sure he can make the team. He can't. He's got everything going against him right now. He's going to start in AAA.
Another player that you mentioned, like to talk about for a minute, is Jurickson Profar. Yet another young player, 24 years of age, just turned 24 this week. He'll be playing in the World Baseball Classic for the Netherlands, along with Didi Gregorius and Xander Bogaerts and who else? Oh, Angelton Simmons. So here we have Jurickson Profar. George last year played in 90 games, 307 plate appearances, hit .239, five homers. Did nothing going really there on the on base percentage, but your thoughts there? Again, another young player in a powerful lineup.
All right, Profar. I mean, he's sort of everything went against him once again. He had multiple multiple shoulder injuries, and they were severe shoulder injuries. So that hurt. You know, that put him behind the eight ball as far, because he was one of the top prospects. Everybody wanted him. And then
he came in the majors when he was 19.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, Roughnet Odor sort of came out of nowhere to be a prospect. And he's a very good player, and they're talking contract extension with him. So that took his position away, second base. And then he's got the Joey Gallo problem. Where does he play? Right now, it looks like he's going to be a platoon player. You know, I don't like that. I don't like platooning a guy this young. I don't like sort of saying that he's, you know, oh, you got to platoon him now just to get him on the field. Because once again, does that mean, you know, he's a switch hitter. It doesn't make any sense. But because, you know, you got to get other guys out there because they're too deep that you platoon him right now, at least he plays. Listen, fantasy-wise, I'll take a shot on him late. You know, probably in the bench part of my draft. You know, maybe even a late round pick. You know, a dartboard throw, see what happens. Then maybe he comes out of the gate firing, you know, hitting like a bat on fire, and his own, all of a sudden he's playing every day. I think that could happen. Love that ballpark, love the offense. So I'll take a shot on him. I think the talent is there, but I really wish, if I owned Profar in a dynasty league or a keeper league, I really wish he would have been moved this offseason.
Yeah, you think he could be the everyday left fielder?
I think he has a shot at it, yes, because I think if the talent's there and he can hit, yes, but there, like I said, there are so many players here. If he gets off to a slow start, it's the exact opposite.
Yeah. He's somebody interesting to me. He's a guy, I'm with you. I think I take a shot on him late just because I feel like people have been talking about this guy forever. They have been. So that's it. 1 hour down. I'll continue to talk MLB. George and I are going to do a little bit of NFL at the top of the hour. So it's 1 hour down, 2 hours to go on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Come back and listen to us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.